This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sisters. It's been a while since I've been here, alhamdulillah. And I want to say jazakumullah khair to Masjid As-Salam for inviting me down here to see you all today, alhamdulillah. Dearest sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِ زَمَانٌ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي أَلْقَابِضُ عَلَىٰ دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَىٰ جَمْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. That verily there will come a time upon my ummah in which the person who has to hold on to, you know, the person who holds on to their deen will be like a person holding on to a hot coal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that there's going to be times we're going to find it difficult for you to feel proud to be a Muslimah. There's going to be times when you're going to struggle in order to be able to openly practice your deen. And, you know, subhanAllah, sisters, we find that we're living in a time where the people who, you know, go around openly practicing sins, these are the ones who are praised and encouraged. While those while the one who, subhanAllah, is trying to hold fast to their deen is ridiculed and mocked. We live in a time where we find that the haqq is, you know, downtrodden and belittled, and the batil is widespread. The falsehood is widespread, subhanAllah. And we look at, you know, and that's why, dear sisters, we're living in a time where for the one who is, you know, trying to hold fast to their deen, it's like they're trying to hold onto a hot coal, because subhanAllah, you know, no one can hold onto their deen except they're going to go through some type of hurt and some type of harm in holding onto their deen. May Allah subhanAllah make it easy for all of us, inshaAllah. And when we look at the many trials that we're going through as an ummah, it's so very easy for us to begin to feel weak or to fall into despair. You know, everywhere we look around the world, we see the suffering of our brothers and our sisters. And then, you know, to top it all off, we find ourselves as Muslims, you know, constantly under attack from those who want to spread hatred and distort the beautiful image of Al-Islam. So this is why, my dear sisters, one of the greatest struggles for so many of us right now is, you know, trying to keep strong in facing these trials and trying to stay steadfast in practicing our deen in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And especially when for so many sisters, it's not only that they're dealing with the Islamophobia outside of their homes, but often there's, in so many cases, you're having to struggle with your own families. It's a constant struggle with, you know, your own families in trying to practice your deen. Many times your own family is the one who's, you know, mocking and ridiculing you, subhanAllah, for you trying to hold fast to your religion. So that's why what I wanted to speak about today, inshaAllah, is how we can, you know, make ourselves more resilient, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you know, in facing all of these trials that we're going through. And there's two main things we need to be focusing on, inshaAllah. The first one is we need to, first of all, change our mindset in how to face these trials and to deal with them. And secondly, we need to, you know, we need to know what are some practical advices that we can use in order to keep ourselves strong and be resilient in facing all of these negative pressures that's upon us. So sisters, first of all, from the most important steps in keeping strong at this time is we need to know Allah. We need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to remind ourselves of who is Allah, and that from His Asma al-Husna wa sifatihi al-Ula, from His beautiful names and His sublime attributes, is that He is al-Alim, He is al-Hakim, He is the most knowing and He is the most wise. And He does not will for anything to happen, whether on the heavens or on the earth, except that there's a huge wisdom behind it. So that's why if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing for us to go through all of these trials right now, we need to have yaqeen in our hearts that there's a huge hikmah, there's a huge wisdom and reason behind all of what we're going through. And that's why, dear sisters, as mu'mineen, as believers, we need to have tawakkul in Allah. We need to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, destining to happen to us, that it is for the best for us. And, you know, think about it. When it's similar to when you were a small child. When you were a small child and your mother was holding your hand and taking you places, did you ever question about why, where she's taking you or why she's taking you there, subhanAllah? You had your trust in your mother and where she's taking you. And similarly, my dear sisters, we need to have trust in Allah, in where He's taking us in this journey. We need to have trust in Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah is the higher example. So never think that what's happening to us is something which is bad for us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it's something good for us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Don't think it's something which is bad for you. Know that it's something which is good for you. So even if you don't like it, and it's, you know, even if it's something painful that you're going through, you need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it's something good for us and it's something that we need. So therefore, we have to be looking for the lesson. We need to look for the lesson, because it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to teach us through everything that we're going through. And one of the main lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us right now is He wants us to wake up and move forward. He wants us to wake up and move forward as an ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He wants us to grow as an ummah and to move forward and to evolve. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that for too long we've been sitting in a state of ghafla, a state of heedlessness, a state of stagnation, where we've become too stuck in a type of comfort zone. You know, our hearts have become too attached to the things of this dunya, so that you find that collectively we've lost our direction in striving. You know, we've lost our direction for our ummah, and individually we've lost our direction in our true purpose in this life. If you look at the reality of our situation, my dear sisters, you see how the majority of us have become so over focused in ourselves and our own families. We're so absorbed and over focused in ourselves and our families, to the level that we've stopped thinking outwardly. This is the biggest problem. We have stopped thinking outwardly about what each of us as an individual can do to bring about positive change for our ummah, inshallah. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us these trials, because He knows that from the amazing affairs of the believers is that fitna is something, you know, trials and fitna is something that refines a believer. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. That amazing is the affair of the believer, and all of his affairs are good. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, you know, when a believer is tested, they become stronger. The true believer becomes stronger, and they grow and they evolve. And subhanAllah, one of the amazing things that's known about human beings in general is that from all of the emotions that can push human beings towards change and motivate them towards change is the emotion of pain. The emotion of pain is the strongest emotions that can push somebody towards change and to motivate them to want to change themselves, subhanAllah. And we only have to look around the world to see how all of these trials that we're going through as an ummah are slowly bringing us together and uniting us. You know, all over the world we can see there's a revival of Islam and there's an awakening amongst the believers. You know, we find so many people now are so much more interested, for example, in teaching their kids the Quran and educating themselves about their religion, where we didn't see that on that level if you go back, say, 20 years ago. It's a huge change, alhamdulillah. So that's why, my dear sisters, I'm saying, don't think that these trials that we're facing as an ummah today is a punishment for us. Rather, always remember that Allah, He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the one who's full of mercy, who is more merciful to us as believers, even than our own mothers. Okay, so I want to move on, inshallah, to talk about some of the practical advices for standing firm in facing trials. So number one, the first point I want to give you, inshallah, is that no matter how desperate the situation for our ummah becomes, we should never lose hope and fall into despair. So that's why the most important advices for all of us is not to let these tribulations paralyze us, not to let these tribulations paralyze us into doing nothing, but rather what we need to be doing is to be using this pain, using this sadness that we're feeling to fuel ourselves into trying to do whatever is in our power to change our situation for the better, to change our situation for the good, no matter how small that might be, no matter how small that effort might be. So when we see the tragic images occurring around the world, you know, when we hear the attacks and our religion being blamed, when we hear the attacks upon our religion and our religion being blamed and ridiculed, it's very easy for us to either become emotional about that or to just simply shrink back into our comfort zones. That's the normal two reactions. Either we become really emotional or we shrink into our comfort zone. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, dear sisters, is to rise above this pain. He wants us to rise above this pain and to evolve as an ummah. The story I like to give sisters is to think about the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam. Think about his situation. Think about the pain he was going through. How much dua was he making to Allah? He's lost Yusuf. He's lost Benjamin. And he's going through so much pain, subhanAllah. He's to the level that he's lost his eyesight. But yet, what does he tell his sons? What does he tell his sons? He tells them, Ya bunay yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhihi wa la tayasu min rawhillah. Innahu la yayasu min rawhillahi. He tells them, oh my sons, go out and seek out, go out and look for Yusuf, go out and look for his brother, and do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because verily the only ones who despair of the mercy of Allah are the disbelievers. So what do we learn from this ayah, my dear sisters? What we learn from it is that we need to keep moving. We need to not let ourselves stand still, and we need to learn how to rise above our pain and keep on taking action, no matter how small that action may be. And we cannot change the whole world. You have to be realistic. Of course we cannot change the whole world, we can't change the whole situation of what's happening, but each of us has our own unique skills, each of us has our own unique talents and abilities that we can use to step up and try to change the little that we are able to do. And subhanAllah, one of the things I always find is that the strongest people, the most resilient people in the Muslim community, they are the change makers. You'll always see that the ones who are the strongest in their iman, strongest in their faith, are what I call the change makers of the community. Who are they? They're the ones that you see, for example, volunteering, for organizing charity or, charity dinners, for example. They're the ones you see, for example, doing meal runs to help sick sisters, or doing meal runs to take to the detention centers. You know, people who are involved with dawah, the change makers of our community. And this is how, subhanAllah, you'll find that because of their striving for the sake of Allah, because of their striving for the sake of Allah, you find that Allah makes them resilient. They wake up each day with a purpose. They wake up each day in their heart thinking, what can I do to bring about positive change for the ummah and for my community? Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا. He tells us, those who strive for our sake, we will guide them to our paths. So when you strive in the path of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes you from those who are resilient. So this is why you get, this is the reward and this is the effect of striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I come to the second point now, inshallah, and that is, How, and from the other ways to stay strong, inshallah, from the other advices to stay strong, is it's very important when you're going through these trials, you need to focus on coming closer to Allah. We need to strengthen our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and focus on ways of strengthening that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's only with the help of Allah that you can remain steadfast. We cannot hope to remain steadfast by ourselves. If you try to remain steadfast, just relying on your own internal strength, you'll not be able to do it, subhanAllah. So you need to have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah tabaraka ta'ala in the Quran, He tells us, وَمَا صَبُرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. You cannot hope to be patient except with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. So subhanAllah, this is why we see that Allah tabaraka ta'ala, also He tells us, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So when you're going through those trials, when you're going through those tribulations, you need to flee back to Allah. You need to run back to Allah. Don't run in the opposite direction as we see so many people doing. Run towards Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee back to Allah. Run back to Allah. Because He is al-Najja. He's our refuge in this world. And He's our refuge in the Akhirah as well. SubhanAllah. You know, and this is unfortunately one of the mistakes that we see with many people, that when things become difficult, you know, sometimes they might have had bad experiences. Maybe they've gone through a bad marriage. Maybe they've had bad experiences with their community. Unfortunately, when they go through that trial, they let themselves become weak through it. And they start to go backwards. They start to, for example, neglect their prayers. You know, you find them, they stop coming to lessons. They stop mixing with the community. You know, they start maybe changing the way they wear the hijab. You know, some of them even, subhanAllah, they take off the hijab. And so what we find is that instead of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that time of hardship, sadly, they move further and further away from Allah. So we need to realize that, you know, when the going gets tough, as I was saying, you cannot hope to do it alone. You cannot hope to get through this life and the trials of this life alone. You need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you safely make it through all of these trials, inshallah. So be close to Allah, sisters, and focus more intently on strengthening your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I come to the next point, which is we need to do jihad al-nafs. We need to do jihad al-nafs, which is, what does it mean? It means to be in constant struggle with your own self. To be in constant struggle with your own self. Now, in order to do that, you first of all need to realize what is the natural state of the nafs. What is the natural state of the soul? The natural state of the soul is that it inclines you towards being lazy and to procrastinate. It inclines you towards sins. As Allah Ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. That the nafs, it orders and inclines a person towards the evil except for who Allah is merciful upon. So if you know that that's the natural state of your nafs, it means you need to always push in the opposite direction of your nafs. You need to push in the opposite direction and you need to fight and strive against your nafs. You can't give into it, because the more you give into it, the more it gets stronger over you. But if you push back, you'll find, subhanAllah, it'll become weaker. And I'm sure that many of you have seen that and experienced that, like any of you who reverted to Islam. Any of you who came back to Islam, you remember the first days when you first started praying. How hard was it to start praying? How hard was it to wake up for Fajr prayer? You had to really strive against yourself because it's something so different to your system. But then give it a few months, give it a few years. It became second nature. You didn't even have to think about it, subhanAllah. This is showing you how the nafs works. The more you strive against it, the more it becomes weaker. But if you give into it, if you give into your nafs, you'll find it becomes harder and harder to go against it. And this is why, my dear sisters, that, you know, I say that even if you don't feel like praying, even if you're going through something, you know, where maybe your iman feels so weak and so low, and you don't feel like praying, or you don't feel like getting up and putting on your hijab, what I would say to you is Strive against that. Strive against that feeling. You know, subhanAllah, fight back against your nafs. Because the only way to you resist the nafs is to go against it. And the more you go against it, you know, give it a few days. Keep pushing, inshallah, making a lot of dua, pushing against your nafs. And soon you'll overcome that stage. You will overcome that stage. It might take a bit of time, but inshallah, bi'idhnillah, with the help of Allah, you will overcome that stage and find it gets easy again. We all go through down times, but we've just got to be patient. You know, if you can't worship Allah upon love, if you can't worship upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, feeling motivated to do so and upon love, then worship Him upon patience and seek your reward through your patience in worshiping Him, even if you find it difficult upon you. You know, and the most important thing, dear sisters, is just never let go of the rope of Allah. Think of your salah. It is your silah. It is your connection to Allah. It is your lifeline to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like if you're swimming in the ocean, you're swimming in a swimming pool and you're drowning. You're drowning. You're drowning in the pool or you're drowning in the water and someone throws out a lifeline to you. Would you let go of the lifeline? You would never let go. You'd hold on to it for dear life. And it's the same thing. When you're going through hardships, when you're going through trials, you have to hold on to your salah in the same way. You have to hold on to your prayers in the same way because you need them in order to survive in this world. Your prayer is your lifeline to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never let go of your lifeline. And always remember, my dear sisters, too, always remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the Jannah. He told us, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ, that the Jannah is surrounded by difficult things. And what's surrounding the hellfire? The shubahat. The lusts and the desires are surrounding the things that are beautified. You know, the nar, the fire, is surrounded by things which are beautified to you, such as sins. Meanwhile, the Jannah is surrounded by things which are difficult on the nafs, difficult on the self, because you have to keep pushing yourself to pray. You have to keep pushing yourself to fast. You have to push yourself to pay zakat every year. You have to push yourself to go to Hajj, all right? And to practice your outward actions of Islam, subhanAllah. So it is difficulty, but know that that is the path to Jannah. That is the path to Jannah. And remember what Allah told us in the Quran as well. He tells us, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That as for the one who fears his standing before his Lord, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and he forbade his nafs from following his lusts and desires and sins, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That the Jannah will be his final abode. So this is the path to Jannah. Don't let go of it, inshallah. We come to the next point. which is from the very important points we need if we want to stay resilient, is seeking knowledge. You know, many sisters, when the times of trials and corruption comes, times of confusion that we're in right now, this is a time of confusion. People are trying to change Islam. They want to change Islam. They can't stop people becoming Muslim. They want to change Islam. They want to change the image of Islam. So it's so very easy to get lost in all of this fitan. It's so very easy to get lost in all of this confusion and to start to have doubts about one's religion, as we're seeing an increasing number of people getting doubts. So that's why, my dear sisters, if you do not have a strong foundation in your deen, if you don't have strong knowledge, then when the fitan comes down, when the tribulations come down, it's very difficult to survive. It's so much easier. If you don't have knowledge, it's so much easier for the shaitan to begin to whisper into your heart and to cause you to start having doubts about your deen. Because we have to realize that, you know, the shaitan is always going to try to penetrate into your weaknesses. It's always through the door of weakness that the shaitan is going to try to come to you. So if your weakness is your knowledge, then realize that the shaitan will try to penetrate through that door, subhanAllah. And look at what the Prophet ﷺ advised us. What did he advise us in times of fitan? What did he advise us that we need to do in times of fitan? He told us to cling onto his sunnah. To cling tight onto his sunnah. And to cling tight onto the sunnah of the Khulafa ar-Rashidun. To cling tight onto the sunnah of the righteous Khulafa. You know, from the sunnah of what Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum jami'an were upon. And he told us, Addu alayha bin nawajith. To bite onto it with your molars. If you know, even if you have to bite onto your molars, that's how tightly you've got to cling onto it. And that's what's coming to now. It's very hard to stay steadfast in your religion, subhanAllah. So if you don't have the proper knowledge, if you don't have the proper knowledge of the sunnah, how can you bite onto it if you don't have the proper knowledge of the sunnah? If you don't have proper knowledge of Allah, of the Quran, of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can we hope to cling fast to it? And that's why, you know, subhanAllah, especially for us as women, it's so important that we empower ourselves with knowledge. Because it's not just about us, dear sisters. It's also about protecting our own families. You know, I see women, we are at the front line. We are really at the front line when it comes to raising the next generation. So if we want to be resilient, if we, you know, want to build strong and resilient homes, then, you know, that can withstand all of these waves of fitna, all of these waves of confusion and tribulation, then this is why knowledge is so essential for us to seek as women, that we can, you know, benefit ourselves, inshallah, through that knowledge and pass on that knowledge to our families, inshallah. Like, look what Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. And part of doing that is through knowledge. Knowledge of Allah, because knowledge is something that is a great weapon against the doubts and the confusions that the shaitan creates. Okay, come to the next point, inshallah, which is the importance of sticking with the jama'ah, sticking with the main body of the Muslims. It's very important, my dear sisters, that we don't let ourselves move away from the Muslim community. You know, even if you do experience some problems, you know, maybe you've had some problems with people in the past. I know some people go through painful problems where, you know, maybe someone's gossiped about them and things like that, and it's caused them to move away from the community, sadly. But what I advise everybody is to always reach out and seek the sisterhood. You know, there's always good sisters out there somewhere. If you've had bad experiences with some people, know that there's always good people there somewhere. You just haven't looked in the right places. And you do have to keep in mind that, you know, sticking with the jama'ah, sticking with the main body of Muslims is a protection. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in one hadith about how the stray sheep is easily devoured by the wolf. So sheep, they're very weak when they're by themselves. But when they flock together, they become strong. And the shaitan is like the wolf. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَعَلَيْكَ بِالْجَمَاعَ فَإِنَّ الذِّئْبَ يَأْكُلَ الْقَاسِيَ. He says, upon you is the jama'ah, the main body of Muslims, for verily the wolf eats the stray sheep. So this is why we have to be so careful about not going away from the jama'ah, despite what happens. And then, of course, very importantly, is to choose good company for ourselves. It's so important that we do seek out the good company, sisters who remind us, you know, sisters who remind us, who encourage you. You want to look for people who are positive, who encourage you to want to be better. Of course, we don't want people who are judging us, but people who are encouraging us, you know, but also be careful from those type of sisters who maybe they cause you to have doubts about your religion. Some friends are not good for you. They might pull you backwards. They're always encouraging you to go backwards. Or they might be creating some kind of fitna with you that they cause you to have confusion about your religion or doubts. So try, if that's what's happening with your friendship circle, you need to move away from that friendship circle and seek out a different friendship circle. And this also applies to online. You know, when the people you make friends with online, it's exactly the same policy you should have in real life. Look for the good companions online. Look for the ones who are encouraging you. They place reminders, you know, and not the ones that are creating doubts and who are pulling you backwards. So look at who you befriend online or that you follow them, and filter out the ones who are not, you know, encouraging you and pushing you forward and, you know, making you improve. But before I move on away from this point, I just want to also mention that, you know, it's so important, dear sisters, we are all in the greatest need for us, the sisterhood around us to support us right now. And that's why it's so important that we all become a lot more compassionate with one another and caring with each other at this time. You know, this is not a time for us to be judgmental and harsh with one another. The times we're living in right now is not a time for us to be judgmental and harsh with one another, but rather what we should be doing is to help those sisters we see struggling around us, you know, take them by the hand and help them to move forward on their path toward Jannah, inshallah. We have to have rahmah. We have to have mercy with our sisters, because we need to realize that so many people are going through so many struggles. They may have smiles on their faces, but you don't know what kind of pain they're going through in their hearts. And that's why it's so very important that at least outside the house, when they see their sisters, they feel that love, they feel that care of their sisters. And so, you know, really, sisters, you know, we need to smile more at each other. We need to hug each other more. We need to have more love and more care for each other. Some people are hugging each other, mashallah. But it is a serious thing, you know, and even especially one thing I want to remind everyone, including myself, a new sister turns up, we need to be welcoming people more. You know, when we're in our normal, you know, circle, we might be friendly with each other, but it's the new sisters that might have been really difficult for her to turn up to the masjid, and she feels lonely and she feels, you know, shy, and then no one greets her and no one, you know, welcomes her, and maybe she doesn't want to come back because she doesn't have the nerve to go back again. So it's so important we reach out. This is a time for us to be really trying to spread that compassion that Islam teaches us, inshallah. Okay, I come to the last point, inshallah, for today. And this is one of the most important advices that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us in regards to how to deal with times of fitna and tribulations. And that is that a person needs to make themselves busy and focus their attention on doing lots of ibadah. Okay, when you come to times of fitna and trials and tribulations, one of the most important things to do is to focus yourself purposely on your ibadah, on your worship, and, you know, doing those things which help you to get closer to Allah. And we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that, he said, for example, al-ibadatu fil harji ka hijratin ilayh, that the ibadah in times, the worship in times of tribulations is like, it's like hijra to me. It's like making migration to me. So ibadah in times of tribulations, you get far greater reward for you remaining resilient and steadfast in times of tribulations than you do when it's times of ease and you find easy, you know, Islam to practice. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us there'll come a time where the reward that someone will get for practicing, you know, certain aspects of their religion will be the same reward as like 50 of the Sahaba. 50 of the Sahaba. That's how much the deeds will become magnified due to how difficult it becomes. So never think that these trials we're going through in these Western countries, or for example, going out of our houses and openly practicing our deen, you know, wearing our hijab or our niqab with pride, never think that your reward is the same as someone who, for example, might live in a Muslim country who they find it very easy to do that. So this is what we have to always keep in our minds. But, you know, what we learn basically from this hadith is how we need to be focusing on ibadah in these times. Come more towards ibadah, come more towards worship, and make yourself stuck to worship, and realize that what does this ibadah represent to you? You know, this ibadah, this worship that you're doing, it is basically tools. These acts of ibadah are basically tools that Allah has given you to help you to remain resilient. Okay, they're tools that Allah has given you to help you to remain resilient. I'm just going to quickly go through a couple of these which are very important that we need to stress on the most. And the first of these, of course, is the main thing we need to be focusing on if we want to be resilient in this world, is our prayers on time. Your prayers on time, especially waking up for the Fajr prayer on time. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that the five prayers are amud ad-din. They are the foundations of a person's religion. Okay, your five prayers, think about them as your foundations. So if your prayers, dear sisters, are shaky, if your prayers are not on time and your prayers are shaky, it means your whole deen and your whole foundation is going to be shaky. And what does that mean? It means your whole life will be shaky. So if you want your life to be in order and you want to be steadfast, this is one of the most important things to, you know, paying attention to. It's step one in how to be resilient in times of tribulation. Because if your life is shaky, how can you expect to remain steadfast when those tribulations and trials come upon you? And then we come to the next main thing, which is we need to make the Quran a constant companion. The Quran should be a constant companion in our lives, where we read it and recite it every single day. Not just in Ramadan. This is the biggest mistake, to think that it's enough to recite it once a year. The Quran needs to be an integral part of our lives every single day. Because remember, we realize, dear sisters, that the Quran was sent to strengthen the hearts. The Quran was sent to strengthen the hearts. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, that this is how we strengthen your heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through his hardships, he's going through the tribulations, how was he surviving through that? Of course, he had his iman, the strong iman, and the, you know, the unwavering iman in Allah. But what's feeding that iman? What's nourishing that iman? It's the Quran that's being revealed to him, the ayat of the Quran that's constantly coming down and strengthening him. And just as it was a source of strength for him, it's a source of strength for us. And we need to be turning to that source in order to get that strength, my dear sisters. You know, and realize that when you're reading the Quran, just realize what it's doing for you. It's filling your heart with hope. The Quran, when you read it, it fills your heart with hope. And it fills your heart with having husna dhan in Allah, having the best thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the words of the Quran. Allah says, for example, la taqnatu, do not despair. La tahzanu, do not be sad. La tayasu, do not lose hope. La tahinu, do not become weak. So all of this is strengthening our hearts and giving us hope and strengthening our husna dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, my dear sisters, that, you know, the Quran is the ultimate shifa for every type of doubt and bad thought that might come into your heart. Okay? The Quran is the ultimate shifa, the ultimate cure for every type of, you know, doubt and bad thought that might come into your heart. And subhanAllah, a man asked Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said to him, why isn't there a surah in the Quran that speaks about medicine? And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, because all of the Quran is a shifa. All of the Quran is a shifa. It is a cure for the hearts. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We sent down the Quran, that which is a shifa, a cure and a mercy to the believers. So it's one of the greatest tools that Allah has given us to remain resilient in hard times. So, dear sisters, you know, make the Quran your companion to help you get through the trials of this life. And then the last main advice that I want to give, the last of the main tools, inshallah, is we need to be stuck to dhikr of Allah. We need to be stuck to the dhikr of Allah and make a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all throughout our day. Incorporate dhikr. Always saying astaghfirullah, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah. Always be upon dhikr of Allah and saying your du'as in the morning and the evening as well, that you can find them in the book, The Fortress of a Muslim. And realize that what does the dhikr do? What does that dhikr do? It is the hisn al-Muslim. It is the fortress for a Muslim. Your dhikr that you do, what it does, it's like it creates a barrier around your heart. It fortifies your heart. So it's very difficult for the shaitan to penetrate and start to whisper the doubts and to start to whisper, you know, the evil inclinations that the shaitan whispers, subhanAllah. So this is what you're doing when you stay steadfast to the dhikr of Allah. So realize these are all tools to use, and you need to be stuck to these tools. If you're not using the tools, then how do you expect to remain resilient in these, you know, times of tribulations and trials? And we see, subhanAllah, sisters, we see that Salama radiallahu anha wa abaha, she told us that the main dua, or the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say the most, was what? Ya maqalib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O Turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear sisters, and this is the dua he was saying the most. O Turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm on your religion. So if this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's making this dua for Allah to keep him steadfast, how much more should we be saying this dua? We should be saying this dua as much as we can in every sajda, in every prostration, at every time we think of it, try to say this dua and be always upon this dua. Because like I said earlier, we can only hope to remain steadfast and meet Allah upon Iman if we have the help of Allah. It's only by the help of Allah we'll be able to do that. So in conclusion, my dearest sisters, I want to say that, you know, I know that so many of you are struggling to stay steadfast in these times. So many of you are finding it so difficult, you know, to stay, you know, to keep resilient upon your religion in these times. But, you know, what we have to remember that this life is so very short. This life is so very short, and the akhirah is forever. The hereafter is forever. And so what we need to do, the way we need to live in this life, is to, you know, live in this life with your eyes and your heart firmly fixed on the Jannah of the next life. Live in this life with your eyes and your heart firmly fixed on the Jannah of the next life, inshallah, my dear sisters. And, you know, hold tight onto your deen. Hold tight onto your deen. Hold tight onto that hot coal, even if it's burning your hands. Hold tight onto that hot coal, because one step in the Jannah, just one step in the Jannah, you'll forget about every pain. You'll forget about every sadness. You'll forget about every hardship or every struggle that you ever went through in this world for the sake of your deen. And ultimately, remember that the Jannah is something which is the most precious thing. The Jannah is something which is the most precious thing, and every precious thing has a price. Every precious thing has a price. So aren't you ready, my dear sisters, to pay that price? Aren't you ready to pay that price, inshallah? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us all in Firdaus al-A'la, just as He has chosen to gather us all together, subhanAllah, for this lesson, for this lecture. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in the company of the prophets and the siddiqeen and the shuhada and the salihin. And I ask Him to keep us steadfast in this life, and to guide us and to protect us and to fill our hearts always with the love for striving for the Jannah and the next life. Ya Allah, purify our hearts from having too much love for the things of this world, and fill our hearts instead with the love for You alone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us from those who we are pleased with You as our Lord, and we're pleased with Al-Islam as our religion, and we're pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our prophet and our messenger. Ya Allah, help us to live our lives upon La ilaha illallah, and to die upon La ilaha illallah, and make the day we stand before You the most beautiful day of our lives, Ya Allah. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.